As the year wraps up, you might be thinking about money, about your wages, how much you spend on the holidays, how much you need to save. Investors are also thinking about money, as they always do, as the Dow approaches the 20,000 mark. But the markets were not always so bright in 2016, and there were many other economic roller coasters to ride this year as well. Issues such as trade, jobs, and regulations surged throughout the 2016 presidential election season, and large institutions from Big Pharma to Samsung to the EU felt the financial earth beneath them shake. So let's look back at the past year with Jill Schlesinger, business analyst with CBS News and host of Jill on Money. Hi, Jill.
Hello.
Okay, so number one on your list, U.S. stock market correction. Why was that one of the biggest stories of the year?
Okay, first of all, it was number one because I went in chronological order.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, what correction? Everyone's talking about Dow 20,000 right now.
That's right. It's funny, though. We started the beginning of this year in pretty bad shape when it came to the markets. And, you know, think back. It was a really weird time. We were not talking about how much we were going to grow. We were talking about, oh my gosh, maybe we're headed into a recession. Crude oil was down below $30 a barrel. It was the lowest point since the year 2003.
Hmm.
And at that point, stocks were down more than 10% from their previous high point. That's an official correction. And it was such a weird way to start the year because it almost crept up on us. It was like every week, a few percent. And it kind of reminded me of that period during the financial crisis where you felt like, well, every day is another 500-600 points. Eventually
yeah.
We get to zero and good, it'll be over.
Yeah.
So we did come back from that. But boy, that was a fascinating time because people were very freaked out.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Jill, this is a question I'm dying to ask everyone who's in the business press, because on a day-to-day basis, we sort of hyperventilate around, around what the markets are doing. And like you said, sometimes they're for a good reason, a la 2008. But just in the answer you gave me, like we start at the beginning of the year talking all about a market correction, we end talking about Dow nearing 20,000. I mean, from a consumer level, how are we supposed to take this day-to-day roller coaster?
Here's what I think. When I was a financial advisor, you say to your clients, hey, you know, this is a long game. So don't get so excited when the market's going higher and breaking through milestones like a 20,000 Dow or, you know, when we were worried about it the first time around, the 5,000 level NASDAQ in the year 2000. Don't freak out so much on the upside. Don't freak out so much on the downside either, because in the long term, chances are we kind of understand how markets behave. If you've got a long enough time horizon and you stick to your game plan, you don't mess around with it, chances are you're going to be okay. And this year is such a fabulous example of it. I don't think there is one analyst who could have predicted that we would have been in a correction in the first quarter and then talking about markets being 10% higher by the fourth quarter. So because no one can predict that, I always tell folks, just stick to your game plan, keep your expenses down, don't try to figure out where the man behind the curtain is. There's no man or woman behind the curtain. Stick to a passive investment structure. You'll probably be better off.
All those wonderful low-cost index funds. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So now let's talk about another big business story that really did have a tangible impact on many consumers across the country. And that had to do with the discovery that Wells Fargo employees had opened a few million accounts that they shouldn't have. So a big story. Remind us what happened.
This was like a throwback story in my mind. You know, if you think about any sales organization and how they incent salespeople to do business, you say, oh, well, you know, if you sell this many, you get a bunch of steak knives. And if you open this many, you get a free vacation. If you don't actually open enough, you get fired. And essentially, there was a culture that was created at Wells Fargo where they were trying to put into place something called cross-selling. Every time you have some relationship with a customer, you try to cross-sell and open up a different relationship in another part of that financial institution. There were people kind of far down the food chain, but clearly the folks above them knew what was going on. To hit these targets, what they did was they just opened up accounts without the customer knowing. Now, what was really kind of bizarre about it is that they would often open and close the account very quickly. So many times, if you're the customer, you didn't even know it was opened and closed, maybe until you went and checked your credit score and you realized, who made a hard credit inquiry into my record? And that may be how you discovered it, but it was hard to discover. What was also crazy about this case is that the bank's response was horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
They cut 5,300 low-level employees. You know, they were sort of like, oh, it's the bad apple, right? That's usually what
a lot of bad apples. Then, right?
A lot of bad apples. They paid $185 million fine to the regulators. And this story is going to continue to play out because all of the regulatory institutions that should have actually kind of been flagged about this didn't see it, or they blame management for not telling them about it soon enough. And in fact, the Federal Reserve, which oversees the big financial institutions in this country, has cracked down on every single one of them and said, tell us exactly what your cross-selling policy is. Tell us what's going on. We're keeping an eye on you now.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking banks, let's talk about America's central bank and the Fed. Raised interest rates only twice since 2006, once last December and once just last week. Obviously, this was a year of a great deal amount of political uncertainty as well. So the Fed staying the course more or less. But what do you expect from them in 2017?
Well, you know, when the Fed raised rates at its last meeting of 2016, they basically put together these projections and they said, here's what we think we're going to do over the next year, 2 years, 3 years. I think that generally speaking, they're trying to take all the information they have and project, right? And in 2017, they are anticipating an additional 0.75% in rate hikes. Okay. That seems all well and good, but I just want to remind everybody that in 2015, when they made that first rate increase, they thought they were going to do 4 1/4-point increases in 2016.
Hmm.
They thought they were going to raise by a full percentage point. And guess what? They did just one rate increase of 0.25%, proving that perhaps your local weatherman or weatherwoman is better at predicting short-term than your Fed governors and officials.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's wrap up with some good news here, because in 2016, we did see some wage gains. You write that this was a year where wages finally outpaced inflation, up 2.5% year over year in November. So what drove that?
Well, it's interesting because we talk so much about the problems in the labor market. I think we forget about how much progress we've made. And to take you back to the bad times, when 2009 started and well into 2010, we as an economy were losing hundreds of thousands of jobs on a monthly basis. And to come back from that hole, which was about 12 million jobs lost, to come back from that hole, we have had to create lots and lots of jobs. Now, I know it has not been perfect. I think a lot of the jobs created have not been high-quality jobs. But that said, in 2014 and 2015, we had very strong job creation. 2014, 260,000 jobs a month. 2015, about 220,000 a month. Through the month of November, which is the data that we've got right now, we have about 180,000 jobs a month. These are really good numbers. And what has happened is, as the labor market has tightened, companies are finally starting to pay more to these employees. And this is great news. As I said, it's not like a 2.5% increase year over year is awesome. But if inflation remains low, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So if you made 2.5% more than you did last year and prices are only up by 2%, ostensibly you should have some extra money that's left over, presuming you haven't spent it on the holidays.
So many ifs, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a perfect way to end 2016. Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and host of Jill on Money, thank you so much and happy 2017 to you.
And to you as well.